past, but I'm able to be here in his house. You know, when you're not in your house, you miss it. It seems like the week don't go by if you're not in your house, if you're able. I just want to thank you that I'm able to go today. Thank you for this love and this favor.
Stand up and thank the Lord for saving me, for his mercy and his grace. Boy, I'm not worthy of nothing. I'm not worthy of nothing. I thank him. He seemed fit to love me. I thank him, Lord, for where he put me at. I thank him for my family, Lord, my church family. I thank him that I got a boy that's an hour and a half away from me. The Lord's watching over him because the Lord's everywhere and he can take care of him. But he sent his mom a message on her Apple Watch about Deborah's testimony. I tell you, the Lord can take care of your family. No matter where you're at. I tell you, I don't live for him like I should. I fail him daily. He's so wonderful. He's so deserving of everything that I could give him. But yeah, I fail him, but he don't fail me. And I thank him, Lord, for him, for his mercy and his grace. Now, what a wonderful Lord that we have. And I let him down, but he don't let me down. And he knows me, and he died for me. What a wonderful Lord. I'm not worthy, but I'm going to stand this morning and tell him how good he is. How good he is. He is wonderful. Oh, he's so wonderful. Thank you, Lord.
Stand up, thank the Lord for saving me. There's no rich sinner like me. I didn't deserve it. I still don't deserve it. But he had mercy and grace on me. He brought me through some tough times. It's not like with Chris. His whole world's getting worse and worse. Sometimes I just hate going out in places because what all's out there. I don't know how you can put up with it that much longer. I'm thankful I got a good church family. I'm thankful for my family. We all have struggles. We all do.
Yeah.
We always gonna have struggles. But one thing we can always count on is him. Because he's always gonna be there for us.
Yes.
He's always there to really put an arm around his head. It's going to be okay. The Lord's going to come. I'll make sure of that. And like I say, I'm just not worthy. It's just standing up and just praying for him. And saying how good he is.
Straightway, Jesus constrained his disciples to get into a ship and to go before him to the other side, while he sent the multitudes away. And when he had sent the multitudes away, he went up into a mountain apart to pray. And when the evening was come, he was there alone. But the ship was now tossed in the midst of the sea, tossed with waves, for the wind was contrary. And in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went unto them, walking on the sea. I'll ask Jeremy if you would to lead us in a word of prayer.
Dear Heavenly Father, I can't thank you enough, Lord, for this day, Lord. Lord, that you made, Lord, for us, Lord. Jesus, Lord, thank you, Lord, for where you put us, Lord, this morning, Lord. Lord, we pray, we thank you, Lord, for the touch of the service, Lord, for coming by our way, Lord, touching hearts, Lord. Pray, Lord, continue, Lord, to work, Lord, and pray we just magnify your name, Lord. Just uplift your name. The only name that's worthy to be uplifted, Lord Jesus. Lord, pray you just touch and bless and help Adam, Lord. Give him the guidance that he needs, Lord, to carry out the service, Lord. Pray just touch and bless him and use him in preaching, Lord. And all these things we ask in your name.
As we begin to look in Matthew chapter number 14 in these few verses, we see that there's a lot taking place in this chapter up until this point. We see that John the Baptist has been beheaded, but we also see the 5,000 being fed. And we see that as we come into our few verses here today, we see that the disciples surely were living high spiritually. They were excited, overjoyed, wanting the Lord to be placed king upon this earth. They had seen the miracles that he had worked, and we see that something that happens here that doesn't happen a lot of times when he's in the midst of the disciples. The disciples here are sent away from the Lord, and they're fixing to face a trial in which the Lord is not there as a physical presence of help. You know, the disciples, they had relied upon the Lord up until this point. When they faced the problem, he was there by their side. He was there to take care of their problems, to handle it. They had somebody physically that I could look at and I could say that he is there. He is going to handle the problem. He's going to handle the situation. He is the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. He is a present help because he's beside me. And then we get down to these verses here in which we're at. Jesus had sent the disciples away onto a ship. He's having them sail across the sea into another place until he tells them he's going to meet up with them on the other side over there. And now Jesus is not going to be in the midst of those disciples as they're going to face the trial that they're fixing to come up against. And we see that it's going to cause a struggle and a problem in their life. But what the disciples had to realize in the midst of all this is Jesus was still in control of the situation. The disciples are coming off a high note, able to worship, able to praise. Everything's going fine. Everything's going well. It is a picture of a Christian that is on the mountaintop. Everything's in order in their life. Everything's just laid out perfect. The sun is bright and shining. And everything's going to be all right. Surely they're rejoicing as they're getting on a ship and heading to the other side of the sea. Surely they're thinking in their heart, wonder what miracles is going to work on the other side. And they're thinking everything is joyful. A basket of roses, if you will. And then they're faced with an obstacle in the midst of all the joy that they've had. There are times in our life in which we're going on as a child of God. Everything seems fine. Seems like I'm able to control my own little ship. It seems like the Lord has just been blessing over and over and over again. And it seems like there's been no struggle. There's been no real hard times. Everything's just going smooth. For me, for a church, for individuals, whatever the situation may be. And then at the drop of a hat, our world would flip upside down. But the picture that is painted here in these four verses is not a Lord that has forsaken the disciples, but it is a Lord that is showing them that He is still in control, even when it looks like He's not in the midst anymore. We get down in verse number 23. It says that He sent the disciples out into the ship, and He sent the multitudes away, and it says He went up unto the mount apart to pray. What's happened here is the Lord is at a high vantage point. He is on one of the mountains that is around the sea. He is not down on sea level as others would see it, but He has a vantage point in which He could see what's fixing to happen and what is fixing to take place. And the Lord is making that intercession for them. We see the picture first off as He is the intercessor for the disciples that are in a world of trouble in which they are fast approaching. But we see that the part where our Lord has come to pray, surely there's other things, but He's making, I believe, intercession with God about His own people down here in this walk of life. And we see that that intercession is not made after the storm arises. But we see the intercession's made in verse number 23 and in verse number 24, the storm
approaches the ship. So before I ever know that there's a problem coming, before I ever know that my world's fixing to flip upside down, before I ever know that storm's fixing to come in and darken my path, the Lord has already seen the storm. He's already seen the outcome of the storm. He's already made the intercession for you and I. In Romans chapter number 8, in verse number 34, it lets us know that He is on the right hand of the Father to be an intercessor for the child of God. In 1 John chapter number 2, in verse number 1, it lets us know that He is our advocate with the Father. That is all because of the blood that was shed on the cross of Calvary. And because of that blood, I am tied to the Lord. There is no getting away. There is no me facing a storm by myself. There is no me facing a valley, no matter how dark or long it may be, by myself, because I am tied to the Lord, to the Holy Spirit. We see also, throughout the Scripture, He is mentioned as the great high priest. He is the great high priest that is touched with the feeling of our infirmities. He is the one that when I cry out, He takes note of my problem. My problem or my valley or my storm may not be as big and may not be as severe as some that others are facing. But the Lord would always take note of the child of God. And He always hears. And He always has compassion upon His children. I don't know what it may be that you're facing in your life today. I don't know what it may be that you're going to face in the short future that is to come or way on down the road. But what I do know and understand, that the Lord is sitting in a high and elevated place by Him being the great high priest. And His point of view is a lot different than mine. When I get to that storm, I can't see nothing but the storm. I can't see nothing but the dark clouds. I can't see nothing but the rain and the lightning and the thundering that seems like it's overtaken in the storm. I can't see everything. But there's been times when I've got up at a high vantage point. We'd come off a mountain when we was in construction, and you could look down, and in the valley you could see the clouds forming. But that storm was just an isolated event. It was not surrounding everything, but it was just a little spot that was moving through the people down there underneath that couldn't see how big that storm was. But you being up on the mountain, you could see how big the storm was that they were facing. And our Lord is at that vantage point this morning. He knows what I'm facing. He knows what I'm going through. And He sees the severity of the storm and how wide of a stretch that it may be that we have to go through. He has got a point of view that you and I don't know and don't understand. He sees the outcome on the other side of the storm. Not only do we see the Lord as an intercessor, but in verse number 24, we see a picture of us as a ship that He's in control of. In verse number 24 it says, "But the ship was now in the midst of the sea, tossed with waves, for the wind was contrary." I began to read on the ships. These are not like cargo vessels that we see today or motorized boats, but these are ships that had sails upon them, and these sails would guide the ship in the direction that it needed to go. And the thing about these ships is there is, you read on it, and a lot of it's based nowadays upon sailboats, in which you and I see as a common occurrence to see a sailboat. And those ships start out on a nice and sunny day with a little breeze blowing, and they've got the big sails hooked up, and they make time and everything is easy, and that captain of that ship, he's in control, and he's able to guide it in the direction that it needs to go by moving the sails in the direction to catch the wind the right way. But you begin to read on the sailboat and what would happen in the midst of a storm. And when that storm would arise, those sails are all tied down. Those sails are took down because that captain cannot control that ship with those big sails cast up. It'll make the boat go in a direction it don't need to go. It'll make it speed up too much. He'll lose control of that vessel. So what they do is they take it and they put a different kind of sail on that ship. And they call them a storm sail. And they're not like the big sails that are out there. They're a smaller sail. But that sail that is put on that boat is something that has been tried and tested over and over again. Those sails are something that is referred to as bomb-proof material. It's not going to be tattered, and it's not going to be torn in the midst of a storm that is approaching. So what those sails are to you and I, when our ship gets up there in that sea, and we're in the midst of the storm, and those winds are blowing contrary to you and I, and our little ship is being tossed to and fro, and I can't handle it no more because it's sending me in a direction that I shouldn't be, I have to throw up my hand and say, Lord, I'm in the midst of a storm. Lord, I'm in the midst of a valley, and I can't make it out on my own. I'm no longer in control like I felt I was before. I feel like I have nothing to do with the storm because it's just tossing and turning me every which way. The Lord comes in, and He throws on that storm sail on my little ship, and it begins to control me in the direction that I need to go. What that is something that's been tried and tested time and time again. I can see it in my own life, knowing that if I have to face a storm that is to come, that I've already faced storms in the past, and He's been there to supply the mercy and the grace. He has been faithful and true through everything that I've ever had to go through in my life. I can look at other lives and see how the Lord has went in, and He has begun to sail their vessel in the right direction. No matter what they're facing, He's always been faithful and true. Our Lord is not going to break in the midst of the storm. One thing it talked about is those people that don't have those storm sails. That their ship will be tossed around to the point of they can't control it anymore, and they would be best off to abandon ship instead of go down with it. You and I don't have to worry about that today as a child of God. I'm never going to have to abandon ship because He's never going to abandon me in the midst of the storm. He's always going to be there. But not only do they have a sail that they put out when the storm approaches those little sailboats, but there's also an anchor that is throughout. When you get to thinking about an anchor on a boat, I think about one of the big anchors that you see on all TV shows that's dropped off. That anchor go down, it snagged the bottom, and it'll hold that boat still, and it ain't going to move. That's what I think about when I think of an anchor. But that's not the kind of anchor that they use in the midst of a storm. They said those would only be for boats in a harbor. Those boats that was not going somewhere. See, there's a destination that's been set for you and I. And it's not on this side. It's on life's other side. Paul would talk about it. There's no stopping place for the child of God. There's never any point in which my boat should be anchored off it to where I cannot go down the road with the Lord. So that being taken into effect, these little sailboats go out. And they hit that storm, and them storm sails are threw up. And the next thing they do is throw an anchor. That anchor's never touching the bottom of the sea. It says the rope is not long enough to let it touch the bottom because it ain't going to do the ship no good. It'll tatter and tear the ship apart if it can't move. So what that anchor does is it goes out, and it's like a parachute. And it's hooked on the back of that boat. And then they said what happens is that crew, they'll throw that anchor and put them sails up and set them, and then they'll go down below. They're no longer in control of that vessel. So that anchor and those sails begin to take that vessel and to put it in the direction that it needs to go. And the thing about the anchor is it twists the boat around to face that storm head on. And that storm being faced head on saves that ship from ever going under. See, if that boat's sitting sideways, it's going to capsize that boat with them waves that are coming. But with that anchor set behind it, it's going to face that storm head on. You know, there are storms in life that I'm going to have to face head on. I'm not going to be able to get around them. I'm not going to be able to skirt them in any way, shape, or form. The Lord has put them there in front of me. Same applies to your life. But one thing about it, He's the sail that's been put forth, and He's the anchor that's hanging on the back, and He's the guiding and directing us through the storm. While I'm curled up under the deck, don't know how to control the ship, terrified of the storm that is out in front of me, He is there controlling every aspect of it. I begin to think about that anchor. A chicken house is my time alone with the Lord. Another week, I was just sitting there, not this past week, but last week, and I was thinking about things that's going on in life and in the midst of the church. And I began to question God. I don't question His authority, but I ask Him questions because I don't understand. And I said, Lord, how in the world do You know what it's like for our pastor not to be able to talk and preach the way that he wants? How in the world do You know what it's like for these that are facing the cancer in their body and their families. How in the world do you know what it's like for a church to struggle when I've never read that any of that hit you in your life? And the response from the Lord is, I'm my anchor. And I begin to study on that. Begin to study on what that anchor is for that little vessel. That excited me then, but the more I studied it, the more it excited me, because I'm tied to that anchor through the Holy Spirit and the blood that's been applied to my life. And every time my boat takes a hit, that anchor's nowhere to be seen. I can't lay my eyes on it. It's nowhere in the picture, but underneath the water, every time my boat's hit, that anchor feels it. He knows the stress that that boat is under. He knows the direction that that boat needs to go. It's a pulling back on that boat and a leading and guiding and taking everything that that boat cannot handle and handling it to keep it on course. You know, I don't understand a lot of things that we go through, and I'm not going to be able to go through them alone. But I thank God that He's my anchor. I am tethered to that anchor through the Holy Spirit. I can't get untied from that anchor because the Holy Spirit is living deep inside of me. I'm thankful that He's there to supply our every need in the midst of a storm. Next, we go on down into verse number 25. And it talks about our Lord and His time frame. In verse number 25. It says, and at the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went unto them, walking on the sea. This fourth watch is being talked about. And verse number 25 is the watch that would take place between 3 and 5 in the morning. Now, if I'm reading it right, in verse number 23, it talks about the Lord being on the mountain to pray. And it said, when evening was come, he was by himself. And at that point, verse 24 follows in, it says, but the ship was now in the midst of the sea. So if I'm reading it and understanding right, that ship is facing a storm before dawn, evening time. That storm has come upon that ship. And them boys on that ship, they've probably done everything that they can. Everything that they can to get that boat in the right direction, to weather out that storm, to make everything right. They're facing it in what it feels like they're alone. And in the midst of all this, I'm sure in their heart they're thinking, you know, the Lord, He's going to be on the other side of this sea waiting on us. He's not going to be out here in the midst of the sea dealing with the storm that we're in. You can see that in their heart when they're shocked when He shows up walking on the water unto them. But surely they're thinking, oh, we're going to have to face this all alone. And up to this point, they have. That fourth watch being the time right before the dawn, right before daylight comes. They're struggling through. There's times in our life when we're going to face these storms. We're going to face the valleys. And the Lord, He sat there the whole time on the mount. He's watched this little ship be overwhelmed by the winds and the waves that has come up against it. But the whole time the Lord's taken note, even though the disciples had no idea that He was there in the midst. And my little vessel sometimes in a storm, I feel like I'm facing it alone. I feel like I ain't getting no help. I feel like every time I cry out unto the Lord, there's a deaf ear and there's silence and I'm not getting no answer. It feels like I'm not able to pray through. It feels like God's not taking note of the situation. But all along, He's sitting on the right hand of the Father, looking down in the midst of my storm, having control over the situation when I don't know it. The thing about the fourth watch, for me, being outside, like be outside, hunt, fish, whatever it may be, you get out there before daylight, and I notice a lot of times it seems like the temperature will drop 3 or 4 degrees right before daylight. And it seems like you can see a lot of times when you would walk out without a light in the mornings, early in the mornings, and then as the moon begins to set, it begins to get darker. So right there before daylight, it darkens down and then gets real cold. And some of these that hunt will know what I'm talking about. And in that period of time, your body begins to get a lot colder. But what I do know is that within the next hour of that sun's going to begin to rise on the other side of the hill. And as that sun begins to come up, my body has begun to get cold. sitting out there in the woods in a tree stand where we may be, and that sun will peek up and it begins to warm me, and I begin to feel good knowing that there's nothing but the hope of a sunny day sitting in front of me. The same would apply to my life. I may have to face a bunch of the storm without knowing that what the Lord's doing, without seeing His hand in the midst of the storm, without seeing His presence in the midst of the storm. But rest assured that He's a guiding us through that storm. Even though we're facing the darkest hours of our life, even though it may seem like you're facing something that you're not going to make it through, He is a present help. When the time is right. We're not going to go through that storm on our time schedule. In no way, shape, or form. If He let us do that, we would never have any come into our heart and our life. But the Lord has been justified in what He done. What He does is He shows up on the scene in the darkest hour. When I feel like I can't make it. When I feel like all hope's lost. Lord, I can't do it no more. Lord, I've struggled as long as I can struggle. And Lord, I've done all I can do. And Lord, I need Your help. And He's there. He's in the midst. I don't know what the outcome of a lot of storms may be. He knows. He knows. He's got a different point of view, a different aspect of looking at things than you and I do. His timing of the storms are perfect for you and I. But the timing of His presence in the storms is also perfect. You and I want out of them as quick as possible. Or just move in and remove it. But there's some that we've got to endure in order to get where we need to be with Him. I'm going to tell you, He's a driving the ship today. No matter what I face, my little vessel just steered right along where He had had me to go to bring honor and glory to His name. I'm going to ask David and them come around to get a song. I don't know what it may be that you're facing in your heart life today. You can rest assured without a doubt, He's taken note. He knows what the situation may be. He knows what the problem may be. He's going to be just in every aspect of it. We just got to trust Him in those ways.